There he is.
There we go.
What's going on, my man?
No, thank you.
Well, I'm full. I'm giving you some.
No. Popcorn.
Okay. Now it's 6 o'clock.
Ready? Okay. Okay, today is Thursday, December 17th, 2015. And I want everybody to stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call to order.
Larry Dogman,
roll call. Board member Madera.
Present.
Board member Dolores.
Present.
Board member and treasurer Hernandez.
Here.
Because I'm here and absent is Mercedes Ramos, vice chair. Certification, item one, certification. Excuse me, certified that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shell Market, Biola Community Center, Biola Post Office, and was signed by the secretary to the board, Elaine Cervantes, with regards to the board president as being correct.
Yes.
Okay. Adoption of the agenda of regular meeting December 17th. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion we adopt the agenda for December 17th, 2015.
There, second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody got anything to say to the board or ask the board or questions to the board? Mr. Cervantes.
On behalf of the VFW, thank you to the board for allowing us to use the building to do the toy distribution and food distribution Sunday. That's all.
You're very welcome. Anybody else? Approval of minutes of regular meeting November 19, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes dated November
19, 2015. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same side. Okay, old business. Item A. Approval of financial report as of November 30th, 2015.
Technically, you're supposed to have a motion and a second, and before you vote, then I give the report.
I make a motion we approve the financial report dated November 30th, 2015.
Those, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
No, no.
Oh.
Then you have to.
There's a discussion.
Oh,
and I wanted to let you know, Martha had some questions, and I have some answers that I didn't have when we talked. But she has some specific questions. If you looked at the profit and loss previous year comparison, it'd be the third page.
Profit and loss.
Is profit and loss previous year comparison, November 2015. And you have specific questions about on the expenses, communications, $474, and that whole thing is just the Sebastian bill. And that includes our phone and our internet and our alarm system. And then the other question that Martha has down on expense, further down under repairs and maintenance, so it says structures and grounds, $3,030. That was an unusual expense because we paid Agamiro and a team to go through and all the alleys in Biola with a crew and basically clean out the weeds so we could read the meter.
The whole town, you mean?
The whole town. They were really bad. And so it was not just him, it was, he had a whole team of guys, and it took a couple of days, and they filled up our dumpsters with weeds.
Maybe we should start spraying it once a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it would eliminate, I mean, you can spray for a lot less than, or every 2 months, Roundup, I mean, you spray 3 times a year.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be probably 1/3 the cost of that.
Yes. But they were pretty much out of control.
Well, so I thought the homeowner is supposed to be responsible for that.
Good luck. They'll tell you it's on county property.
Well, they're in the alley.
Still.
They're in the alley. I don't know where the property line, is it in the alley?
It's on county property.
It just seemed like we had an issue, we need to solve it, and that was our solution.
Not all homeowners clean their alleys. Well, you go through some alleys and, oh my God.
Some are pretty good, but some are really bad.
Yep.
And anyway, that's what that expense was. And then the other piece of that, is normal landscaping costs that we do for both the Biola Avenue and for here.
The other thing I asked was bank charges.
And I did not get the answer to that yet. She asked, on the bank charges line, it says $244.
Would that include your pickup when they pick up your checks?
That's in there, the courier charges, but
yeah.
That's not
the whole
how
thing.
We got to 244. On the bank statement itself, it said it was $200 for analysis that they charged
us. Yeah, they've been charging us for analysis for like years because we didn't have the online banking. So you would get charged a fee so they could send you all your statements by mail, any kind of correspondence that you needed at the end of the year. But now that we're doing online banking, that should not be a fee that they should be charging us. Because
so we need to go back on that then. Okay. Good catch.
I was going to ask you something else. I was, and Eduardo was with me. I'm going to put you on the spot, Eduardo. You know how Camilo or Carvajal does the landscaping?
Mm-hmm.
The landscaping around the plants that we have right there on Biola Street,
mm-hmm.
They're really not keeping up with the cleaning. And he was looking at it, and there's trash around it. I mean, I know it's been windy,
so
don't get me wrong.
Trash on the, amongst the plants?
Yeah.
In the landscaping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it has to be a little bit more.
All right.
Cleaning in that area.
I'm not sure how often he does that.
I have no idea. And Eduardo was telling me that he was emptying the trash cans from that area.
Okay.
That Eduardo was doing it, and my understanding was that Carvajal was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So yes. Something's not connecting there.
Okay. I will.
I had another question. Right here on the expenses, you know where it says board member expenses? Wait a minute, I'm lost.
Where's that?
Hold on, let me find it. I got lost. I didn't mark it.
Oh, it says board member compensation?
Right, 375 or something like that.
Where's that at?
It's two more pages back on the profit loss previous year, October to through November. Down about 2/3 of the way down, $500. What was the question, Martha?
Oh yeah, why is it on 14,375 and not on 15?
14,375. I'm not looking at the same thing.
What? Oh, I see.
Board member compensation on?
She's saying, I guess there was.
On the transaction report?
Yeah. Well, no, it's on the profit and loss previous year comparison.
I've got 500 in one column and 1125 for last year.
No.
That's so, not the profit loss.
Am I looking in the wrong place?
It's in the profit and loss previous year comparison. Page one.
That's the only one that's on it, just the 500. And the
it says November 15 on the top.
Uh-huh. 15, and then November 15, 14.
Oh, this one.
Which one?
The other one. Oh, this one right here.
This one?
Mm-hmm. That's the balance sheet.
Oh, board member, it says zero for November 15. Is that the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I still don't see it.
Board member compensation.
Where it says salaries and wages?
Yeah.
It says board member compensation. On 14 is 375, and then on 15 is zero. That's why I couldn't get that.
All I see is the 375 from last year.
Right, and then on 15 is zero.
Yeah, she's asking how come, I guess, it's not showing for 2015.
Why is it so zero?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. Because we did pay last month. It should have showed up.
And Astro printed it out.
Huh.
Well, you probably have it on the next page at 500. The next two pages. We have 500. That's for also October 18th through November 30th.
Right.
This one just says November 15th.
That's right here.
Maybe it wasn't included yet.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Well, profit and loss previous year comparison is one and the same. What this one is, you just cut it off from October 18th to November 30th.
I think it is just the timeline cut off.
Yeah.
Is the differential between those two pages.
But it's more extent if you go to the one that has October 18th through November 30th.
Right.
It gives you more of the extension.
Yeah. It's in there.
And see, right here on October 18th and November 30th, 15th, the bank charges are $304.29.
Bank charges.
On the profit and losses, previous year's comparison, but it's just October 18th through November 30th, 15th. And it's on bank charches is $304.29.
I believe they're including partial of October.
It's from the 18th to November 30th.
Right, and this one only says November, so.
This one says November 15th.
Yeah, but the other one has October,
yeah,
the month before.
Yeah, the one has October.
Yeah, it has
well.
A whole month.
Okay.
Postage and delivery. It's on this one, on the one in November, we have $424.64, and the one in October and November, we have, is this two different amounts? $689.51 plus $424.64?
I'm not sure. What are you looking at?
On postage.
Postage.
Right. For November 15, we have $424.64. But then on the next page of October 18, November 30th, we have
$689.51. Because this one that you're looking at is for 2 months.
I might understand that. But if this amount, it's added with this amount, or why are we having two different amounts?
No, I would assume it would be the difference.
But then if it was different amounts, we should have 400 and 200, not 600 and 2 and 400. Because that comes almost over $1,000 for a month and a half.
So 196,
no.
And then 684 was for
2014. Right. 684 is last year's.
Huh?
684 was last year.
It says 15.
No.
It says October 18 to November 30th, 15. It says 689.51. And for the year November 15, it says
$424.64.
No, the six eighty-four falls under October 18th, November 30th of 2014.
And look at the look 15. At the
2014.
It says 15.
Look at the top.
It says 15. And mine says 15.
Well, it's a misprint then. Mine says 14.
No, mine says 14 too.
Mine says 14.
Mine says 14.
Nope, it's right here.
Yeah.
Mine says October 18th.
Oh, I got
postage,
zero.
196, right. And this is last year's.
Okay. Oh, 196. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and this.
And then over here, it's zero.
She was looking at the
wasn't
payroll.
Counted.
Payroll.
It didn't get included in this in that report.
Okay.
The thing about it, the charges are...
Okay, no questions.
Some in
you got to get them all answered.
All right. One in November.
Yep. What you know is we'll send you an email so we have an answer.
Do you want a second on this?
You gave us a second.
Okay.
Rudy and Martha were first and second, so we just need to call for the question.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same side. Item B, on the old business, BCSD freezer ice machine update.
Okay, on the freezer?
Oh, I thought we had one on that.
Yeah, we don't, but I'm going to make, you guys have a copy of the white one.
Yeah.
This is the same thing as what we had in there. The shelving is really flimsy. The shelving is very flimsy. It's not going to last, and it's not very deep. Then they have the commercial, which is this one that you have, the silver one. And as you can look at the inside of it, it's really deep. I'm just not sure what our objective is for the freezer. Is it just going to be for ice or what? So those are the two different. And then I went to Home Depot. And I know you guys didn't want to do this one, but it's a pretty good size one, and it's $398, and it's very deep. It has compartments inside, and it has a lock. So, I mean, if you want to stay more with the upright commercial, a little bit deeper, it's going to cost us a little bit more money. Or this one that's, what was the cubic feet on this one?
I don't remember.
Well, you know, in the past, the only thing the freezer was used for was just for ice. There was never anything, I never saw anything in it as far as frozen meats or nothing.
We stored popsicles for and things
yeah,
like that.
Did.
And this is the upright commercial one. And it's a lot deeper, as you can tell on the stainless steel one. So I need to get more of a consensus. Do you want to go with what we had before? But the shelving, we're going to have the same problem as we had with the one that we had.
Well, I can't see you going that route
again. Yeah. So it either be this one that he just showed you or go with
the stand-up,
the deep pocket. But it's $1,600.
I thought it said 13.
Commercial
it says 13 here.
That's for the refrigerator. If you look on the bottom of this one.
Oh, okay.
I think this would be more appropriate for like if it was more like a restaurant type of a place that they were going to be storing something frequently.
That one, the shelves are a lot sturdier. It's a lot deeper. If you have to put popsicles or anything that we need for whatever reasons, I mean, that's ideal for that. But the plain white upright, it's just not going to work.
Is this a freezer or a refrigerator, this one?
It's a freezer.
Freezer.
The white one?
Uh-huh. And pretty much, I looked at, I think, about six of them, and they're all basically the same. The white shelving, with a little bit...
You talking about this one now?
No, this one. They're all
the
same.
Oh, yeah, but
same.
You said the shelving is the same as this.
Yeah, it's the same. I would stay away from that one. The only other thing is go... The floor one that he had at Home Depot for $397.
Chest type?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or go with the commercial.
I think that would be...
Or that one. And that one's a really good size. What are we going to use it for? That's our...
The only thing I ever saw in it was just ice, once in a while ice cream. It's not like they put
turkeys, frozen
200
turkeys.
Pounds of turkeys or nothing in there.
That one would probably work, huh?
I don't know. What's your input, Martha? I know...
Let me ask Phil. When you guys rent, what is the plans for the bed if you guys take over the rental of the facility?
I think we would like to put an ice machine so you're not buying ice. Or when you go to rent it, it's a lot easier. Any kind of storage for ice is good, but an ice machine, I think, is the...
Well, see, that answers your question, then go with that one. Then. Why spend the money on something if you're not... Like I said, the only time I ever saw anything, it was ice.
Well, if we're going to... Well,
it's ice. It's correct, yeah. But you have to think. You're not renting it for yourself. You're renting it for a commercial.
I know.
And when they rent it for commercial, they put beer, they put sodas, because they want them cold for the overnight, for the following day.
Well, you wouldn't put them in
there. You wouldn't put them in the freezer, though.
No, because a lot of people come in the mornings, and they put them in the mornings. They want them cold for the afternoon.
I still wouldn't put them in there.
Well, I don't know.
I wouldn't put them in there.
You think they'd get frozen.
That's the first thing we do, because a lot of times you buy the beers hot, and you don't have the place to store it.
You don't have
the
room.
As soon as we get in here, first place we put it in.
You put it in the freezer for a few hours?
We know it's there. As soon as we get it on ice, we pull it out and put it on ice, but it starts to get cold faster. But anytime you go to market something, as you try to market the hall, the more basic amenities that you have, the easier it is to rent the hall. Because ice seems like such a small thing, but it's such a pain in the butt when you're trying to do something.
Well, I can understand what Phil's saying. I just don't foresee this being beneficial for us, though.
Not beneficial.
No, I'm thinking
For the community. It's beneficial when you're going to rent the place, because it's the first thing they see. Because people, when they're preparing a party, everything is rush, rush, rush. They want to do it fast. They want to get in there. They want everything ready to go when they need it. They don't want to take a long time to get something done.
And I know we're going to be working on our rates and whatnot, and we can probably compensate, restructure it to where, getting a commercial freezer into our rental fees, that would definitely have to be done.
I'm thinking even if you did add this and, increased it, I don't think this would make that big of a difference to charge, a whole lot more.
Well, how about this one? What does that hold? It's about as equivalent to that, isn't it? Or better?
28.7 dimension with 33.3. Height is 83.9. The one door freezer.
So you're looking almost 30 inches deep. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good size.
Yeah. I think that we need to look at also how much more energy. Obviously this is going to require a lot more energy than this one. I just think that these are great, but this is the type that we have at the venue that I work at, but it's more if you're going to store something in there like Monday through Friday or all year round,
Yeah, well, the thing about it is...
We do the food commodities here, and sometimes they do have frozen chickens and stuff, and we need where to store until we can get disperse of it.
Well, the price isn't bad considering it's
no,
good size.
And it's durable. It's on wheels. But it's just.
It's almost 8 foot tall.
Yeah. It'll match up just.
It's
like
8 foot
the other
high
one.
and 30, well, almost 3 foot across and almost 30 inches deep. It's, it looks like it's good. It looks like it'll hold a lot. Mm-hmm. The one up the stand up, I'm looking at the stainless. Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice one, and it would do. It would hold ice. It would hold. But
it kind of matches the other one. The other one's stainless also, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't we have in there now?
Yeah.
How long? You mentioned that this one was. This one's the same one we have.
Yeah, right? All those that are like
how
that.
How long did this one last?
The thing is, if they put a bag of ice, it's gonna go. It's just, I don't know what it is about those freezers. They're not made for rentals. They're made for more, you know, in the garage, and you occasionally put. It's
but
not gonna
you
lie.
Didn't answer my question. How long?
I'm not sure how long you guys had this freezer here.
It still works. It's just the inside's no good. For, that's the bottom line.
It works. It's just like the shelving or something. You know?
Yeah, but you'd have to replace all the inside. Sometimes it costs more just to replace it than buying a new one.
Yeah, because like that one is $786, or $743, and it's and you're going back to the same thing that we had before.
Now these have metal clips or something where the rack stays on. Because if it's got plastic, it'll be the same as that thing.
Yeah. It's more of a commercial.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, I think that, you know, this is great. I don't want to shoot it down, but I'm thinking this would be great if we start seeing, like, a big, or you know, an increase in our revenue, you know. Then it would be wise to invest in something like this. You start upgrading once you're at that level, but I think we're kind of far from there right now.
Isn't that what we're going with the internet, with the website that you're putting together?
Well, that's not to say for sure it's going to guarantee, but I mean, I'm just saying once the money starts coming in, we start, you know, I think then it would make sense to go this route. But for right now, to spend money you don't have right now, I think.
Didn't we allot so much for that already?
Doesn't make sense.
We did.
How much?
I don't remember. I have to go out. We put some money in the budget for this, knowing we would need to.
What was that
now? Yeah. So, what's the consensus?
I could see going with a stand-up myself. That way you'll never have to replace it again.
Me too.
I mean, you'll have it there for the next 10, 15 years. Because I know that other freezer hasn't been there 15 years. It's only been there maybe 6, 8 at the most, and the inside's already... You've seen it how it is.
No, I actually haven't.
Well, it's plastic.
The freezer.
I mean, if you can still stack all the way up, it just is not going to be in shelves.
It'll be stacked.
Take the shelves off and stack out.
There you go. Take the shelves off.
This would be a very nice quality freezer. My only thought is pretty cramped back there.
Yep.
Space. It'll take up a lot of that space.
This one will?
Yeah. And I guess.
Well, how wide's that one? That one's about the same width, isn't it? The one that's in there now?
Yeah.
It's a single door. It's not going to be double, so it'll be fine.
Right. Now, it'll fit okay. I guess where I was going is we were also thinking about an ice maker. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we're going to put the ice maker. If we got the freezer and the refrigerator, take up that whole back corner. But I think we can solve that.
That's something to be decided later.
Yeah. But it's just a matter of making a decision and going with it.
Well, I make a motion that we purchase this one, the one door commercial. It says refrigerator freezer. What is it?
They have one that looks like a refrigerator. There's one that's a freezer, but they're
this one here is a freezer though, right? This picture?
Yes. And then they have a refrigerator for the $1,397, but the freezer is $1,664.
Well, you don't need a refrigerator.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Now you need three eyes to make this carry?
We need three.
Three of us.
We got three.
Oh, I'm sorry, you.
Yeah.
I wasn't counting.
Are you ignoring him?
Okay, item C, BCSD training, January 24th through the 27th, Palm Springs.
Yeah, you guys had a month to think about this, and I guess...
I'm pretty sure I can't make it.
I can't. Well, this is what I wouldn't even attempt it.
With your foot?
Yeah.
You're not like walking anywhere.
Well, I hate to get over there and have something go wrong.
Okay.
Dwight will massage your feet.
Yeah, right.
No, he won't massage that one.
So, Monique and Martha?
I want to go, but I have my niece in the hospital, so if she's...
Okay.
When does the paperwork have to be handed in?
Well, you get a discount, a lower rate, if you get it in before the 28th of December. So you'd have to decide now.
Oh.
Is there like a minimum for the discount of people or
No, it's time. Basically, you get a...
when is the course? When is it?
I'm sorry?
The class, when is it?
It's the 24th to the 27th of January.
I think Sunday through Wednesday or something?
Sunday's a travel day, you know, so they kind of, and then it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they travel home, midday Wednesday, and drive home Wednesday afternoon.
But don't we have the meeting on the 21st?
I believe the meeting's the week before.
The meeting's on the 21st.
The 21st?
Right, so it's the Thursday prior to the...
These meetings are informative. You learn a lot. I mean, I've been to them in the past.
It's just, they are good. It's a big commitment.
Are you going?
No, I don't think so. I've been to two of them. One in Monterey and one in Sacramento.
Well, I don't want you to get offended, Monique, but if it's just you and me, I don't think.
Oh no,
go.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, there's no point in me going. I mean, I kind of thought. I mean, I can probably do it, but. If the majority, would go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So
they'll have other ones that are closer, like in Sacramento.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, they've had them in Sacramento. They had them in Monterey. They've had them.
Well, one of the things that you guys are going to be asked to do here pretty soon is do an evaluation of the general manager. But part of that, what should happen in any well-functioning organization is the board also does a self-evaluation. How do we as a board function? And so this kind of training is really good for board members to attend together because you have lots of opportunities. It's leadership development and it's time away from all the other distractions to think about how, a long-term plan and to really think about all the things that we're responsible for and how to continue to get better. So even if obviously we don't go to this, I still want to, part of my purpose for even making you say no was to think about it. And if not this, then what? What could we do to continue to self-improve as a board and management team? So anyway, give that some thought. And I will kind of float ideas to you, and we could keep the conversation going. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I know there's some on the website also.
There's all kinds of other options. But they take time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way around it. You have to take some time, commit the time. And it's collective time. We do it together.
Well, how much of a discount do you get? It's not like they're going to give you... $500 off. What, $100?
I think it's $100 per registrant. So, I mean, but honestly, I don't even remember. I hadn't looked at it since the month before when I put it on there.
Mercedes didn't mention anything about it?
She did not. No.
And you are a no, Martha? You're a no?
Yeah, she's got.
Okay. I have to be on.
She's got.
She can't. Trauma.
I know. Like,
trauma. Okay, thank you.
Okay, item D, Yamabe and Horn Engineering Inc.
I put this on here in deference to Martha's concern last time. And I guess Martha's thought was that it would be better to have one engineer for all of our engineering services. Right now, our contract with Yamabe and Horn is only for the two CDB projects, actually three, that are on the table. The two that are funded, he's going to do the design and construction work for, and then the one that might be funded, he did that one. So our contract with them is only for CDBG services. Well, the grant that we're doing for a water system upgrade, he's the guy who's been our advisor on that, and he's just charging a little bit of time for that, even without a contract for that service, because it's not a CDBG project, it's a state grant project.
But he'll get reimbursed once that grant goes through, won't he?
Oh.
Big time.
He'll make a lot of money. And that's, he's doing it on the comp. And he's charging us a little bit for his time. He's not doing it for nothing. But that's work that he's doing. You know, he's engaged with us in that process without a contract.
If you're talking about the one for Sacramento.
I'm talking, the Sacramento one. Okay, we have another project, a state grant, on the recycling wastewater. Okay, and we use a different engineer, Alfonso Manrique, for that project.
Why is that?
He's a wastewater specialist.
And Horn.
And Horn's, he actually does a lot of Horn's wastewater work.
Oh, okay.
They contract with him because they're all their in-house engineers are more water and sidewalks, landscaping, you know, kind of civil engineering. And so it's not magical, you know, we could not do that. But I guess I think we ought to talk about it. You know, the pros and cons of having one engineering versus the downside of having only one engineering firm that we use. My personal preference would be to be able to go to whoever. Because there's other guys too. There's Provost and Pritchard who are really good and have a long track record of success, particularly in wastewater. We've got issues in wastewater, you know, with Actigo wanting to put their effluent in our ponds, you know, and that's a big deal. Well, we've been working with Alfonso on that. But I could work with Gary Horn. We could work with, you know, Provost and Pritchard. We could have options. I guess what I'm thinking is my personal preference is not to be tied into one engineer. I like being able to talk to somebody else. But if we contract as a board with Umami Horn, then it's a different contract than what we have right now.
You're locked into everything.
He would have to draw up another contract, and we would bring that back, and it would be a blanket coverage for all things engineering in Biola. And he's the one who actually brought this up, too, after Martha did. Because he's kind of going, because he was telling me, he says, I don't want to, just, you know, don't be upset, but I'm not going to do too much on a state-funded grant that we don't have a contract for. But I think he saw some big dollar signs potential for him and was happy to respond to the state people's questions. But anyway, I put that on here so we could have the discussion. And it's an old business, so if we want to do something like that, we can make a motion and go ahead and do it.
I don't see a downside going with whoever you want versus being tied with someone for everything.
I'm not actually sure what the upside is, to tell you the truth, just to have one.
Didn't you just say he really doesn't specialize in sewer?
Well, that's what I understood. He would be happy to do our sewer work.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
And to run it through his firm, because I think he does projects, his firm doesn't.
It probably would come out more expensive, don't you think, if we just had one person? Because then, like you said, we can sometimes see contracts outside anyways, versus if we would have just contacted them directly, it'd be a lot cheaper.
I don't know, actually. I don't really have any way of knowing of how they bill their hours like that.
They're all expensive.
They are all expensive.
Yeah.
They're all really expensive, in my opinion.
Well, remember the breakdown they gave us at one time? 90-some bucks an hour just with the assistant or something?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, if you have to hire somebody outside, then obviously he's going to make his money.
Right.
You know? I mean,
right. But, yeah. And I don't know what those markups are. I just don't know.
I would just assume there was a markup.
But part of it, too, it's relationship stuff. I mean, you have to have a comfortable and confident relationship with the people that you work with. And I like Gary Horn, but I like Alfonso.
Does he give the impression that he wants to be the engineer for everything? Or
not particularly.
It doesn't particularly matter to him?
No, he says, whatever you guys decide, it's fine with me. I'll do it. If
he'll go project for project.
Yeah. He's actually kind of retired. He's kind of slowing down himself. But so we're one of the few projects he does is But I just wanted to have it on there just to say throw it out there for the group to discuss and how do we want to do it?
Because I know in the past we've had an engineer that takes care of everything. This is the first time we've gone like this.
Who did you have before?
What was Beth? And she worked for, and they were the ones that did everything.
Fair Church, Electrician did everything.
Yeah, and then before them was
Moreno.
Yeah, he did everything, and before him was who knows who.
And they were
for everything.
They did everything.
One time when I first we used to be under Gershon Gongai out of Madera. They were here for years. They did everything. I mean,
well, it's actually fairly normal. You know, in other places like us, Carruthers, Delray, they have one engineer that does everything. As a matter of fact, I don't know, Carruthers, the guy who's the engineer, he's been doing it for 20 years, same guy. And he comes to every board meeting and he's almost like the manager, the engineer.
Because you can change every 3 years, isn't it? Or is that just for CDBG?
That's just for CDBG.
Oh, okay.
You have to go out and go through the process.
So after 3 years, you have to go with somebody else other than Horn, then? That's what you're getting at.
No. You have to go through the process.
But you can still,
Pick Horn every time.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to change. You just have to... The thinking is that if you go to bid every 3 years, it keeps them honest. Because they got to give you... They know they have to compete for fees and stuff. They can't start, raising them, knowing that you're never going
to
leave.
Well, if that's the case, then by going with project to project keeps them honest, then.
Theoretically. I think most of these guys have standard fees, and you get their standard fees no matter who you are and what you do. That's what it seems like to me. Like the attorneys.
I personally don't see a problem going, project to project with whoever. But if the board feels they need to have a...
I don't have a preference either.
I don't see that.
I don't have a preference with anyone. I just want to be involved in all the projects. I want to see when they do a decision on a project, I want to be involved in it. I don't want to go through what I went through with G Street. I want to see the design before it goes to the CBG. To be presented over there, I want to see it before it goes into to be presented.
Well, don't we see many when they come here before they go?
I did not see it before. I want to be part of it.
Well, that's one of those be careful what you wish for kind of things.
I don't care. I do want to be involved.
You may not want to do what you're saying.
I know, I know.
Because you're talking about getting up your eyeballs and plans. And,
I know.
That makes sense because now it seems like you're more involved, more... In other words, you would, if somebody asks you a question, at least you know what to answer.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what is going on. I want to know, and I want to be able to say, okay, I do represent my town, and I want somebody comes up to me and asks me a question. I want to be saying, yeah, I made that decision. Yeah. I was involved in that decision. I made it, and I knew what I was doing. I don't want to say, hey, I went and sit there, and I got $100, and I don't know what they did it for, or what they did it, or... I wasn't aware that they did it. Or I paid your money and I didn't even know why I did it. I wouldn't pay attention. I want to know why I did it. And a lot of people ask me questions and I want to be able to answer them.
Because a lot of times people ask you a question, you'll go, well, you know what, I'll have to contact the manager. I really don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, yeah, we did this because of this.
Mm-hmm. That's how I want to be. I want to be informed.
Okay. I'm trying to interpret how that actually plays out, what that really means in terms of decisions and decision making, particularly as it relates to, you said you don't want to go through what you went through before, and honestly, I'm not clear what you went through.
I think one of the problems
what I went through is when I went through the to bed, and I told her, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm the engineer. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, you're the engineer, but we asked you to design this. And she said, well, it's my job. Yeah, it's your job, but I'm the board member. And she kind of threw me off and cut me off and said, I know what I'm doing. I went to school. I did this. I did that.
But in terms of, you didn't have...
What was the fallout?
The fallout, it was none of my business.
No, but like, what was the problem? What...
That part.
He doesn't know.
I know what you're talking. You're talking about in front of the hardware store.
Yes.
And the grading.
And then the water sprinkler issue too, no?
The water
sprinkler that supposedly.
You know, when I asked her and she said, you don't have to worry because everything goes through Fresno County. Nothing gets done without them giving the okay.
So what does that mean? Well, how does that relate to not worrying?
That you said that nothing got done without Fresno County okaying.
No, I understand that.
You need to refresh his memory because he doesn't know.
I think I get it. I don't know the specifics of the irrigation problems.
She told us that with the CBG projects, every step that they had to do, it had to be okay by the county.
Correct.
By the, what's his name, the gentleman in the county?
Yeah, John.
That everything had to go to him.
Right.
And before they could do another step, he had to okay it. It had to go to his office, and it had to be okay. Once it was okay, and once his office said it was done, then they would move the next step. And when the next step was done, and his office would verify that step was done, then they would go to the next step.
So well, that's true on all the projects.
Well, she said it was. She said, nothing gets done without his authorization. You can't move the next level until it gets done.
Right.
And then this happened with that, the level and the water. And I told Beth, and she told me, she said, it's none of your business. You don't know. You're not an engineer. You're not this or that.
Well, I think the bottom line is it's going to fall on you to keep them
right.
in
that's,
the loop.
I think that's the manager's responsibility to keep
so
you informed.
It's going to come back to him. So
it's not really Beth's job or, you know, the engineer's job.
Yeah, but
job
I went after Jeff, and Jeff, every time he would kind of tell me it wasn't, you know, kind of cover for Beth. And then when the other young lady took over and I started questioning her, he took over. It was like every single time I tried to question Beth or question the other young lady, it was always him. He was like, oh no, when the first time she came in with no papers, no nothing.
And, well, I'm going to try right like away, crazy to keep you guys more informed than you want to be.
Yeah, and he right away said, no. She's like, and I said, well, did they send you here or did you want to come here or why are you here? And Jeff was like, oh, no, she's not informed and this and that. I said, well, if you don't want to be here, why are you here?
So they're okay with going with any engineer as long
all right.
as you keep
you just,
them in the
you
loop.
You just want to be in the loop. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just go from project to project like you've been doing.
Fair enough.
I don't see any problem there.
Will we need a motion for that or no?
No. There's no need to have a motion.
Can we get an update from last month? How are things with the last items that we left? Can we need an update? On the items from last month?
I thought so.
You spoke to me.
Well,
that's part of the handout?
I think that's part of the emails I sent you.
The handout. So I guess we'll talk about those.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
Item E, draft agreement with the VFW for an inclusive plan for hall management.
Okay, I don't have a draft agreement, but I have met with the attorneys, and I sent you you and Steve an email that you probably haven't seen yet. And the essence, the next step in our journey with VFW is for me to meet with Steve and Philip and review the bullet points of who's going to do what, mainly. But one of the things the attorney said he wants to see from the VFW is a specific list of people who we're talking about. Is this just Philip Cervantes and Steve Sanders? or are there 20 other guys, people? So anyway, so one of the things that the VFW will need to do is produce an actual list of names and of...
You mean your board or something?
Whoever, but kind of what we're talking about is VFW supplying manpower, people power, to supervise and open and close and monitor this facility during events. What the attorney's saying we need to do is we need to see a list of who are those actual people going to be who are going to be responsible representing the VFW. He also wants to see the liquor license that you guys have, a copy of that. We got the insurance. And so that's kind of the next step. So the next step will be we'll have to set up a meeting with you two guys, I assume you two, whoever, from the VFW, where we'll meet and draft in a non-legal language some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
When did you send the email?
A couple hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this afternoon. But I had a conversation with the attorney a couple of weeks ago this week. So, anyway, so no draft to do, but we're crawling that direction. And I wanted to have that on there to have the update. Okay?
All right. Item F, approval of revised contract with PCSD and Terry Solwasser.
Need a motion and a second?
This is what we talked about.
It's exactly what we talked about before.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
Wait, which one was she?
F.
Carrie.
F, 5M.
Did I miss it?
I'm missing it too.
I don't see enough people.
It was in the packet.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the packet.
Yeah, it was in the packet. Oh, I'm sorry, it was there. Let me
Oh.
I got it.
Do I have a motion? Or you want some time for each?
Motion, a second, then discussion.
I'm just, I just wanted to make sure I see the, it's just one year, right?
Yep.
This will be based on the 1 year every year?
To be revisited.
Every year.
Make a motion that we approve the revised contract with BCSD and the Carrie Solwasser.
I second.
Some discussion on this?
It reflects our conversation last time. And go ahead. And basically, we need to have two original signatures, and she would sign both of them, and then we'd both have original copies. That would be the plan. But she, I don't know if she took it to an attorney, but she reviewed it, and she's prepared to sign. Thank you.
Now, is it to her and memo, or is it just to her?
In her name, it doesn't say Mr. or Mrs., it just says her.
It just says Carrie Stallwasser. Doesn't say anybody else.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I second it already.
Okay, do I have those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Same side. Okay, item six. New business, item A, approval of notice of exemption from CEQA for a planning study application to the State Water Board for the California Water System Upgrade. That's what you were talking about last time, right? Mm-hmm. That map sure was on the book.
Yep.
Now, what does the CEQA stand for?
That's the CEQA, that's the environmental quality assurance or something like that.
Oh, because I was looking on here to see what the initial, there's no place on it to tell, well, maybe I didn't see it.
It's one of those things that's used so often, but it's the...
They just go with initials and that's it?
It has to do with environment. Basically, to do something like that, you have to prove that whatever you're doing doesn't impact the environment in a negative way. We're going to get an exemption because we're a public agency and it's through the state, and the state water board's funding it. And so you're approving this notice of the exemption, that we're exempt from that little step on a construction project.
Now we're going to go in contract with Horn for this, right? Since he's already looking into it.
If it gets approved, absolutely. Okay. We'll have a contract for that. Wouldn't have to, but...
I'm just saying you can put it with anybody.
I could, but I think it'd be pretty low blow to
ask
this guy to do all this stuff and then go with somebody else.
Somebody else.
No, there wouldn't be any reason to. So, upon approval, if you guys approve this, then Elaine will send us the minutes of this up to the state people, and it'll go on in our file. They're building this file on this project for us, and they need our approval to complete the project.
Okay, on here it says utilize drinking water state revolving funds. That's who's going to be paying for this?
Yep.
Okay.
Do we need a motion?
We do.
I make a motion that we put this planning study application to the State Water Board under the CEQA, whatever that means.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
This is a one-time fee, right?
This is a one-time thing, yes, for this project.
That's $250, right?
No.
No, this is
$500,000.
That's different.
No, I'm talking about fees.
There's no fees connected
to this.
Well,
there's no fees.
No. So all you're doing is approving this notice of exemption.
Okay.
But it says here a contribution of $250.
We haven't approved the last item yet.
That's different. Okay.
That's something else.
We have to vote on this one.
Okay. Now, what are we being exempt from, though? It says notice of exemption.
From the CEQA.
Oh, okay.
That's an environmental study. We're not going to have to do that environmental study.
Oh, okay.
So it's a good thing. We're saving ourselves some grief.
I made the motion. I don't know. Is there a second?
Monique, you have a second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same side. Item B. Approval of Kings Basin Water Authority contribution of $250.
I guess I could have done this, but I thought it should be a board action. The Kings Basin Water Authority, they're basically asking for a donation.
Is that the one you've been going to?
No, it's actually a little different. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to read the letter from them, but, you know, it's like I said, it's a voluntary deal for the Basin Water Authority.
You know, the only thing that caught my eye here was on here. It says they've been very successful in implementing numerous projects with significant funding through various state of California grants. Then it gives you what they've done. And we don't belong to this group as of yet, do we?
Well. I get all their emails, and they're...
Were we involved with them at one time? Well, you, Rick?
I think Edith and I went to a couple of meetings with them. They're on Jensen Avenue and Chestnut.
Yeah, they're on Jensen.
Yeah.
So you guys know better than I do. But
pertaining to what? What was it pertaining to? I don't remember.
I don't remember, man. It's been a while.
And it's a voluntary administration fee, so it's up to you guys.
Here's how I look at it. It's a voluntary thing, but these guys are in the game we're in. You know, water, conservation, water, providing water. There's a whole world of water politics that I've gotten immersed in the last year. And water agencies that all kind of overlap. And the way I look at this is a $250 donation to have another partner to help us solve problems. You know, somebody else that is a resource. I don't know how much money they get for anybody. Just like you were saying, successful implementing numerous projects with significant funding.
You know, well, they had a lot of funding when they had to go with the installation of residential water meters in the city of Fresno.
See, what we are considered, Biola is considered an interested party. That's not just a throwaway line. That's a very specific term, because the Biola Community Services District is in there, in the Kings Basin, Kings Sub-Basin, and so they consider us people that, an agency that should be interested in the things that they're doing. And so our donation gives us kind of the leverage to call up and to say, hey, you know, we want attention or we want service.
Well, so, you know, what caught my eye is here, we also have grant funding opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, where if you're interested in something, maybe they could be somebody that could point you in the right direction or help you in some way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still getting to learning the lay of the land and who all these different agencies are and political groups.
They do have. I read somewhere quarterly meetings or something. I read it somewhere.
They do.
Yeah, once every 3 months.
Yeah.
Someplace in there have some meetings.
And they, you know, I'm invited to be on the advisory committee. I have not been to any of their meetings. But my recommendation is to vote to approve this. Okay. I think it's a small price to pay.
Okay, do I have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve this one, item 6B.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign.
Can I read the correspondence for him so he can get a voice?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
She's volunteering to read the correspondence since you've got a bad voice.
Correspondence and announcements.
Could you? I haven't got the updates from the last.
That falls under director's comments, doesn't it?
It's on number 8.
What?
The handout.
The email.
She's saying to wait for section 8 when we get to this part. She's going to read this first.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure. The
website. Yeah. Reminder: new office hours Monday. Office closed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 to 5, Friday, 8 to 12. VFW Post 5845, Toys with Santa, Sunday, December 20th, 2015, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. For more information, please contact Philip Cervantes. The BCSD office will be closed December 24th and 25th for Christmas holiday, and on December 31st and January 1st. Now we're on to 8, director's comments.
Before I get to the actual handouts, I wanted to, well, no, it is actually on the deal. When I talked about the gator or the vehicle, and that we don't have one of these because I hate to shop, and it requires shopping. But the one little piece of shopping I did, the Fresno Equipment Company, was the idea of leasing a gator. And I guess what I'd like to do is come back to that. What it would mean is about, it's $220 a month. And at the end of the lease, it's a $1 purchase. So in essence,
You're buying it over time.
But it'd be a really nice vehicle. Four-wheel drive. It's got a hitch. It's covered. It runs on diesel, which is what we want because that's the fuel we got out by the generator. So, I mean, it all the stuff that we need.
Does it have a little The reason I'm it's got a little. You can pull something with it?
Yes, you can pull something. It's got a hitch for pulling, and it's got a bed in the back for utility tools and whatnot.
The reason I'm saying, because, I mean, eventually I think we should start spraying the alleys. You're going to need something to.
And that's what it would do.
Where somebody can sit and spray or something.
Yeah. I mean, we got that second storage unit out there just for the main purpose of parking this vehicle. And what we do is park the vehicle and the spray rig. So it takes the first storage unit and creates all this new space. And so talking to Carlos and Bill and Jared, what we do is we would have the smaller storage unit would be just for the vehicle and the spray rig, and it's open on both sides. So you just drive it in straight, park it, close both doors, all good. It's got a roll-up door on one side and then open side-to-side doors on the other end. Anyway, but it makes our other storage unit much more functional because there'll be so much more room. But anyway, I would like to do that. I would like to lease a Gator for $220 a month.
For how many years?
I want to say 3, but do the math on this.
What was it a month? 220. 225
or something. What'd you say? 220.
What's 220 times 36? No, it's 5 years. It's a 5-year lease. So $220 a month for 5 years.
So well, it's about a $13,000 vehicle. Right?
It's about almost a $13,000 vehicle.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It's less than what Jeff budgeted, quite frankly. Jeff budgeted $15,000.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So we're doing better than that. But and again, it spreads the cost over 5 years. But it's a vehicle that should last a lot longer than that. And you know, talking to Bill and Carlos, they're fired up. They're ready to. They want to use it. They got stuff to do. So anyway, but I would, I guess I would like a nod in my direction to the consensus from you guys.
You know,
give me the go ahead to do that.
I know the money was set aside and all, but I guess it's easier to put it over 200 a month versus 13 something at one time.
It is. Because then it just comes out of our monthly cash flow instead of out of our reserve.
We've just been back and forth.
Honestly, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of talking about it. And I hate shopping.
I think proceed with it. Go ahead. Myself.
I can be criticized for not, I'm quite aware of that, for not looking for the best deal we could possibly get. Because you could probably get something for less money. But it wouldn't necessarily have all the things we want. The hitch, the four-wheel drives, the diesel, the cover, all the stuff we wanted. So anyway, I would...
Go ahead. I mean, I'm for the $220 a month, and then with a $1 buyback when it's done.
Is that a motion?
Well,
I make a motion.
I'm not really asking for a motion because it's not on here as an action item.
Oh, okay.
I guess I wanted one as a verbal consensus.
Yes.
So it's for
a Gator.
Like buying it every month?
Yeah.
No, a payment?
On a payment plan. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of coming up with $13,000 up front?
A question. It is diesel, right?
It is.
It doesn't have a cab.
Cab?
Yeah.
Not an enclosed cab. It's got a cover and it's got like a roll bar, but not a enclosed cab.
And a tilt. Is it tilt?
Tilt bed.
It's got a little tilt bed.
The way I understood it, Florinda wanted to supposed to use it to read meters.
She could. Yeah, I mean it's just the convenience of driving a car or just to the wastewater and then getting her deal. Because right now, her system of reading meters is it's parking in locations and then doing a circle. Moving the car, doing a loop, move the car, do a loop. This vehicle wouldn't be helpful in that sense because you're not going to ride down alleys and like in the vehicle. At least I don't think so.
Okay, you still have to get off and
still got to get off and take. So I don't know. They might.
You don't have a picture of the vehicle, huh?
I Probably do, actually.
Got a Save Mart emblem on the door.
Give me a second here.
Save my logo.
Does it really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. I have an old Fresno equipment. Oh, no, that's not.
Does it look like a little truck?
No, it's one of those little green four-wheel drive things.
John Deere. John Deere.
Actually, let me go this way.
It's like a little all-terrain vehicle almost.
Oh, okay. Those are kid ones.
It's going to have cover for the person when they're out in the rain or whatever? Or
yes.
It will have a cover?
So yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's very similar to that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got a little cover.
Is it a two-seater or a single-seater?
It's a two-seater.
That's what you're getting? Two-seater?
Yes. I don't remember the roof looking just like that, but it's pretty close.
And this is the vehicle we'll use to go to the ponding basin and stuff like that. Where
we'll leave it at the pond, at the,
so they can carry their stuff.
And what they want to do is, you know, Carlos and Bill bring their vehicles, and they're concerned that they're driving bigger regular vehicles on those roads around the ponds is not good for the ponds. Mm-hmm. And then the other little piece, it allows them, they could do minor kinds of things around there. But it's just a real functional vehicle. Okay. Actually, this is a little nicer than the one I think we're talking about. but it's close to that.
Okay.
Other comments here. The audit report paragraph makes sense to everybody.
Said someone were in the black. That makes sense.
Well, when we do accounting, there's like four accounts. The general, water, wastewater, and lighting and landscaping. All those different accounts have money coming in. We get bills for water, we get bills for wastewater, and we put all the income in those accounts. We get money from the tax money from the county for the lighting. Just we get revenue for the lighting tax. And we get tax money into the general account, and we get hall rental income. I was mistakenly not taking some things, like we got an $8,000 accounting bill for the auditor, and we put that all under general. Well, when it is an audit, it counts for all the deal. So we have to split it, a percentage, into each one of those. And then insurance. You know, we get in liability insurance, it's a very expensive bill. That goes to all the various accounts. Well, I was putting so much in the general, and it's coming out, and you're going, wow, you got way too many expenses in general, and your revenue shows that you have this big loss when you really don't have a big loss.
You're just putting it wrong.
I was putting it in the wrong place. So that's why we didn't have the audit report. I went back to Joe Mastro. We recoded everything that we could and spread it into the other accounts so that what Jolly found as a loss in the general is not going to be so much. So that was what that was about, and Ryan will be here next month to do all that. The other thing that I mentioned in there is going to be part of his report. Accountability is the thing that auditors always worry about. always. You know, and that's, they should. It's business about employees not handling money appropriately. Well, one of the things he's going to recommend to us and that we will start doing, and we never had, is what's called an exceptions report. And what it means is, if somebody writes a bad check, we have to charge them that plus another $20 to cover the bad check. So on that person's account, we have to charge that, plus we're charging 10% delinquent fees, late fees. Well, those are exceptions. And what the auditor's saying is that those are places that if somebody was devious, they could pocket money, you know, in an accounting way. And so what he says, I want you to every month print it an exceptions report where all the late fees and all the bounce checks and all those things show up, and you, the general manager, sign off on all of them. Now we're 6 months into the year, and so we're going to make 1 6-month report, and then we will file it monthly, the exceptions report. So he's going to talk about that in January, but I'm just giving you a heads up. It's a recommendation, it makes sense, and we're going to do it. He will recommend the same thing he always recommends in Biola, that somehow we don't have enough people to handle all the different steps. And he will show that, but they always kind of look the other way because no small districts have enough people to count the money, to double count all the money all the time to make sure that everybody's, because they like in a big operation, all the receivables are counted twice by two different people. And we just don't have enough people for that process to be practical. So anyway, he will talk about that. Ice machine, kitchen floor, it's a little frustrating, but we're still working on that. The Actrigo deal. Actrigo has about 5,000 gallons a day of wastewater. Right now they store it in these big tanks. What they want to do, and then they bring a big truck in, and they pay the truck to haul it out and dump it on some farmer's ground. What they'd rather do is run it across the street into our ponds. So we tested their water, and it's high in salts. And so our concern, we're going very slow on this. Actrigo's kind of in a hurry because they're going, hey, man, it saves us a lot of money. But we would have to kind of, how much are we going to charge them to do this? But what impact would it have on our chemistry? We have bacteria. We have bugs that eat poop. Okay? That's how it works. If those bugs have to have a certain percentage of oxygen, and if the biology is changed by the stuff that they would put in, it messes up our system. We can't have that. So, but if it doesn't hurt, they're only 5,000 gallons. We're about 110,000 gallons of sewer a day. So it's less than 5% of what our total is. So one of our engineers or one of our guys we're talking to said, it may not make that big of a difference because it's only 5%. Jared is very cautious, and he says if we're going to do this, we would want to do it on a trial basis. Let's try it, and then monitor the heck out of it and make sure it isn't going to mess things up. And then the other thing we're in the process of discussing is, okay, what do we charge these guys? We don't have any commercial customers of that scale.
Would you have to put some kind of a flow meter to measure how much goes through?
We would. We would have to put a flow meter in. There would have to be some work done just to get their stuff here across the street, even though it's across it's only a street. But anyway, Actrigo is pushing. They have a company, a plant in Arkansas, where the city in Arkansas takes their waste straight without any problems. And I've made attempts to contact these guys in Arkansas and say, what's the deal? But I can't find anybody. So I said, Jeff, you guys find the Arkansas guy and help me make contact. Because when I call the city, there's nobody there going to help me. But anyway, I want to keep you guys in the loop that we're having these conversations. And then what it would do is it would restructure our fee schedule. We would charge them a lot more than we charge them right now. Right now, they just have office toilets. And this would be a whole different ballgame. So anyway, we are cautiously working through that. The other thing that's a big concern to me is the permit. You know, last month we had, what was it this month? It's $26,000 we paid the state of California for to have regulators regulate us, our sewer. While we operate under permit. That permit has not been renewed. It was applied for in like 91. It's been that long since our permit has been reviewed by anybody. Well, I don't want a new permit. I want to make sure that whatever we operate on is going to...
Falls under that permit.
So all of those things are... We're working our way through. But if it doesn't hurt us, I don't know why we wouldn't do it. You know, Jared seemed to think what we ought to do is require them to pre-treat the water on their side of the street before the sewer came over to us. I don't know what that would look like, you know, pre-treating their effluent, because it's just a weak fertilizer is what it is. So the salts are nitrates. And there's a term called the EC, the electricity concentration. You know, how many phosphate ions are floating around in the water that conduct electricity. And that's one of the measurements that they're high in. And that potentially can mess us up. So anyway, I want to keep you in the loop that we're having these conversations with Actagrow and with a whole bunch of other people. Alfonso Manrique is this wastewater specialist who's been a good advisor on this. And of course, Jared, keeping him in the loop, and the county people. But anyway, it's kind
does
of a big
engineer,
deal.
That particular engineer, does he see anything that would affect our plan at all if we did accept him, or...
Well, he said it's too early. He wants to know more. He's still in the process of gathering information on that.
So because of the salt, would that cause the sludge to build up because of the salt?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I'm worried about that.
My initial recommendation was one of the things we have a lot of, quite frankly, is ponds. We have a lot of ponds.
Let them pump it to one of the empty ones.
That's kind of what I said. Why can't you guys just pump it direct? Because it doesn't need to be treated. It just let the water percolate in, and we'll clean the gunk up later. But it seemed to me like that's a great solution. But they all said,
I would think that might be a problem because I mean you have to think about how it's going to affect the environment, right?
Going to go into the ground.
I mean, that's kind of, we're going to have, I'm just scared that we're going to have like an Aaron Brockovich, if you guys are familiar with that.
No.
That's my concern.
No, not even. It's not that kind of stuff. No.
It's
fertilizer. Do we know for sure, though?
Do we know?
Because we tested it.
Is there another... enzyme or whatever you want to call it that's in that water, I mean, besides the one we got now, to sort of, if that one fails, is there a backup? Can we use another different type of enzyme to do that? Or is it just going to be that particular kind? Another thing, Actagrow, is it called the same thing in Arkansas as it is here?
I think so.
How about Osceola, Arkansas for...
That is Osceola. That's where it is.
Yeah, it's in the 870 area code.
Yeah, those guys are turkeys, man. You get them on the phone, they do not want to deal with me. I cannot get anybody to give me a straight answer. Well, so I ran out of patience. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what, Jeff, you guys find me somebody.
Maybe they could just get some giggles on me and have them send you a sample of theirs.
Well, response to Jeff Hunter was... Yeah, it might work in Arkansas, but back up a minute. It's Arkansas. We're California. We're the most regulated state in the country.
Well, that's true, too.
The rules in California are more stringent than anywhere. So I can bet you any amount of money that Arkansas's rules are much more accommodating
Reflex.
To those guys than California's is.
Just look into that very carefully.
So anyway, I'll keep you posted, but that's a conversation that's moving on. Okay, the recycling thing is still going on too. The water grant is up to $500,000 for planning for an up to $5 million construction project. The wastewater is $200,000 to do the feasibility study, but it also could be up to $3 million to construct. So anyway, we're moving on. They tell me that the wastewater team in Sacramento is more efficient than the water team. And so it's kind of a race to see who gets our stuff moved on sooner. I'm still kind of excited about our website. We're hoping to kick that off next month, make a big deal. You can go on there anytime and check our progress, but we're putting, I'll show you what we got so far. Wait a second. Bookmarks. It's BiolaCSD.SpecialDistricts. And so she's been, and this is where we're going to put your pictures, okay, who we are, the little board thing. And right now, we don't have that in yet. And the same thing with staff. A big smiley face of Elaine right here. We'll put in our financial reports. There's a whole thing. This is a CSDA thing on district transparency that they encourage special districts to do. We put your mission and your services and all that kind of stuff. But there's a... it's not there. There's a checklist of things that all the best special districts have that have all these different aspects to it. Mission services frequently. We're going to try to put the hall rental calendar on there. We were going to put in every website of anybody that's connected, but we don't have that right yet. We've got the chamber. We were going to have Biola Elementary, Actigrow, NutriAg, anybody and everybody. Then our meetings. We'll have the agenda, the minutes of every meeting, October, November, December, not exactly in order, September, August. And so we were going to go all the way back to January of 2015, and put our agenda, our minutes, and then also the audio files. So you guys, anybody can go in and listen to all your voices of any meeting. So anyway, there's one link there for that. And then I think we had some notices in there. Hall rental, we get a lot of pictures. Anyway, we're going to try to... We have a lot of work to do still. But it should be pretty... where did that go? And finish that one.
Number 10.
Oh yeah, the luncheon was very nice, and you guys missed last week, but you got your coffee cups from Mid Valley, from Annette. Enjoy those. I didn't really want to put this in writing, but I do want to share it verbally. When I mentioned the network opportunities, what I meant by that was I met with the guy who's the police chief in Kerman, is a friend of mine, known a long time, Joe Blum.
Oh.
As the police chief. He retired from the sheriff's department, and then he went over to be the Kerman PD. Anyway, so I see him, and he goes, "Hey, how did that thing ever work out when you were talking to us last year?" Because I met him last year at the same event. And he went over and introduced me to city manager for Kermit about this idea of us contracting with them, right? So I followed that up with a meeting, and you remember how I went, and then they told us no. Well, Joe asked me, he says, how'd that go? I said, you guys said you didn't want to do it. He goes, really? He goes, our last city manager, he said, he didn't want to do anything. He said, that was all him. He says, we were ready to do it. We were happy. Our guys were happy to do it. So the city manager left. And there's a new city manager. And so I struck up that same conversation. Happened to be the guy who lived in Exeter for 25 years and was good friends with my brother and my sister. But he said, oh, heck yeah. We'd be interested in having that conversation again. Because Ken Moore, the public works director, he was all in. So really, it was the city manager last year that killed it. And I never really knew that. So it opens the possibility of having that conversation again. Whether we do or not, I don't know. I mean, I really like Jared. I like Carlos. I like Bill. They do good stuff for us, and they keep us compliant. They do a lot of good stuff. It grinds my teeth to pay that for people who have to come far away, because we have to pay for that. That's part of the cost of our contract with them. It just is. There's no way to do it. So anyway, I'm just telling you, we've set it up next month. Myself and the city manager will discuss it. And like I said, I don't know.
I just don't mention anything to Jared right now.
I am not planning to do that. The other thing I wanted to get you guys in on is in the newsletter and also in my note here. We've been, Elaine and Florin and I have been all over the place with how to do this in the best way possible. And what I mean by that is how to manage the late payments and the billing cycle. And I've talked to enough other cities where I think I finally get it. And part of it has to do, when we send a bill out, we're sending bills out tomorrow. They're all in envelopes. And they're going to go in P.O. boxes tomorrow. So here it is. What is it? The 8th, 17th of the month. People get them, and technically they're due. But on the paper, it says it's due the 1st of the month. So it's due January 1st. And that triggers, it's delinquent 15 days later. So the 15th of January, it's delinquent. And from that point on, the 10% late fees are added to someone's account. Well, this business of, you know, when do people get, we were giving people 15-day notices and then having to follow up on 15-day notice, and you give a 20 or a 48-hour notice, and then you give all these different notices, and we've made a lot of extra work for ourselves. And we end up with a bunch of accounts that were always chasing late money. And then we get into the end of the year, and we got to turn them into the tax rolls, and it just gets complicated. And so this cycle changes that. We're going to read them around the 10th. We mail around the 17th. They're due on the 1st. They're delinquent by the 15th. If we don't have your money by the 15th, we're going to send you a 2-day shutoff notice. If you don't have it in, all of it paid, whatever you owe, by that point, then your water is going to get shut off 2 days later. Now, what we don't do that other people do is a lot of other places charge a lot of extra fees for the trouble that we had to go through to go turn your water off, or then turn it back on when you pay it.
Well, don't we have a $25 turn on?
We do, but we only have the one. Other places have mostly the trouble for the notice. If I have to notice you, you're going to pay me for it. And then if I have to turn you off, you're going to pay me for that. And if I got to turn you back on, you're going to pay me for that. Right now, we just have $125. It's supposed to cover all that. So I'm not ready at this point to make any difference there. But my intention is to put that on in the newsletter every month. That right there, that 1 through 6 or whatever, so that it's constant. And so, but it also, more than significantly though, what matters is what we do in the office, that we're consistent. Because part of what's got us in trouble is people pay, kind of pay as they go. We've been saying you got to pay by the first, and they'll pay $50. We got a $400 bill. You know, we're just kind of going, oh man, you're killing me. Because now I got to, you know, we're in this constant cycle of notices and all that. But this basically says, at the 15th, if you haven't paid, not just this month, but I mean last month, you're going to get your water shut off unless you pay it all. And so having the clarity of that, I think, is as important as anything, that there's absolute certainty that this is what's going to happen. Because we haven't been consistent in years past. We just haven't. And so people just didn't know, and they're in this position where they're negotiating all the time with Florinda. It puts Florinda in a bad position to have to negotiate with people about stuff. And so this makes it consistent for everybody.
So
every
does this
month.
Give them a month, or it's after? Okay, I'm not sure if I understand you correctly.
So are they going to pay the past due?
Yeah.
They're going to pay the past due, not the current that you're going
to
charge.
No, it's everything. They have to clear their bill. By the 15th? By the 15th, yes.
Past due on what's due?
Yes.
So it's the 15th of each month?
Of every month. We will send out 48-hour notices for anybody that has outstanding bills. So, and that's I think the important thing. Everybody will know that on the middle of the month, if you haven't paid, you're going to get a 2-day shut off notice, and we will shut people off.
Basically, that'd be forcing everybody to pay that month, is what you're saying?
Well, hopefully,
It's not like once you're a month behind or haven't paid that month, then the next on the 15th day you get a notice that you have the previous month. No.
It's whatever you owe, it'll be paid by the 15th.
See, right now, when we do our billing report, we'll get...
That's what I'm trying to find out.
That's what I think that they're saying.
No, I think he's saying no.
Okay, he's saying pay the past due plus what they're going to charge for the next.
Yes, it's past due and current.
Okay, past due and current.
Because what we get, when we do a billing report, we'll have a number of accounts that are 4 months late. Because people have been paying a portion of their bill for 3 or 4 months in a row. And it's kind of like, oh man, it puts them in a bad position, it puts us in a bad position. And we're carrying these things, and it creates a lot of additional work for Elaine and Florinda.
Now, most of those delinquent persons that pay are constantly doing that, aren't they? I mean, throughout the year, through the
years.
Yeah, well, they're struggling.
Same one. Same ones.
Not always. There's some different ones.
I was going to say that I remember this was brought up some years ago. And Florinda, I was just thinking, because Florinda had mentioned that, you know, being that we're a low-income community, she personally knows families that do have to go through hard times, especially during the times that they don't work.
I know.
So... What does she think about this? I mean, how do you think that's going to affect the, you know, people in the community? I mean, I understand, you know, we need to get caught up, but I'm just thinking, like, I'm thinking it's going to cause a sudden shock to everyone, because it's been like that for so many years, and although we are going to be current and caught up, but, I mean, where does that lead those struggling families?
What other places will do is, if somebody's really struggling like that, they'll put them on a plan, like a payment plan. But it's a harsh kind of payment plan, in that if you're on a plan, you got to do this kind of stuff in a piecemeal kind of way to make up back stuff. If you miss, there's no forgiveness. It's over. Your water's off.
You're talking about PG&E?
I'm talking about, but also in other cities. I've talked to other city people, and that's how they handle it. They negotiate. If someone comes in and makes a case for hardship, they'll work with them and they'll set them up a plan, but they don't get a lot of chances to not meet that plan.
Does something like that require like more work, or how much more work?
Yeah, but it's yeah, I think it's worth doing. Yeah, it's additional work.
If they call in and say, you know, I can't, and we'll help them, we're basically helping them manage their money. So okay. It's like, okay, can you make this much here, and then before the 15th, pay this month. And, you know, we'll work with them. But, you know, in most cases, you know, they're just abusing it.
So how many people do go in the tax roll, though? Isn't it only like 4 or 5?
No, it's like
a dozen. Not more?
There's a dozen.
It's 12?
Like 12, 14, something like that.
I thought it was only like a few people, not very
many. It starts off at about 20 or 25, but then they pay before the date.
Well, the end of the year.
Well, I guess part of what shapes how I think is in the city of Fresno, I forgot to pay my bill in money. I get a thing in the mail with a big red bar across the top. You pay your bill by tomorrow, you know, or your water will shut off. Right? Holy smokes. How'd that happen? I missed that last month. So I just, somehow in the stack of bills, I missed it. But anyway, it was no flexibility. There was no, and it wasn't, and well, it was 2 days. You got 2 days from when the date on when we sent it was, not when you got it.
I think that will make a lot of people be more, you know, attentive and aware. And
it's caused a lot of problems the last 2 months.
There's been a lot of anxiety. And
I'm assuming because of the holidays, you know. They don't like change. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is if they know they have that flexibility, then they're going to take advantage of it. But if they know it's a bill that must be paid, then of course they're going to not, you know.
Well, and we're sympathetic. There are, you know, the EOC will help people with utility bills, not water bills. They'll help them with PG&E. But if people have an issues, if they get help on their PG&E bill, that helps them theoretically with our bill.
And what we're trying to explain to them is we're not changing anything. This has always been on our policies.
It has never been enforced
here in the office.
It hasn't been implemented consistently at all. And because there was too much room for negotiation. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to get away from... I want to give Florinda the backup to where she can say, that's how it is. You know, so she's not in a position where people are trying to ask her to negotiate for deals. The last thing I wanted to share, I have been, like I said in my note there, down at number 3, I've been a little nervous because, you know, there's been a number of articles in the paper about all these different cities that are under the gun, about City of Fresno, City of Reedley, all these ones. They compare how much water use they use, the average household usage. Well, nobody asks us for that stuff. And I'm going, well, shoot, what if somebody kind of wakes up?
Let's ask.
What if they ask? What am I going to tell them? So I better start figuring this out. So what I did is I went back to the year 2005 and our meter readings and what our total use for the whole year was in each of these years. Okay? Well, these readings are only as good and as accurate as the people who inputted them into the system. And so here's, you had 78 million gallons back in 07, and what year did the apartments and new houses come in? Was that 07?
So
the next year, well, didn't we have a big jump in houses and apartments?
Yeah, apartments.
Well, so we went from 78 million gallons in 1 year to almost 110 million the next year. I assume that 31 million gallon jump was from the new homes. Then you look at 09, we went down a little bit. In 2010, we were about the same. And then look what happened in 2011. 369 million. It's like, are you kidding me? Well, I went back and I found out that...
The apartments, I think.
No, it was just a mistake.
Oh.
Somebody entered somebody for 1 month and they got like 50 million gallons in 1 month. And somebody else got 43 million gallons in 1 month.
Florinda's the one that reads them.
Actually, Florinda read the meeting. That was actually inputted before Florinda. It wasn't Florinda. So who was ever putting them in, she was really glad to hear it wasn't her.
Trying to blame Florinda.
Well, I mean, she's the only one I ever seen read them.
Well, not necessarily reading them, but inputting them into the system.
Oh.
So she might have read them, but she didn't put it into the Eldorado software. But that number is an absolutely inaccurate number. It's not
really. So it's 2013.
What happened to her?
She did do it then.
So then these numbers, yes, she was doing them, all of it then. But you look, we had $61 million, and that's down. That's 113 million less than the year before.
Yeah, because all our grass are all not even green; they're all dry.
So if somebody asked me how's our water use, I'm gonna say, hey, we're doing pretty good. We dropped 113 million gallons.
No more.
50%.
And I, since this is, I did November to November. I didn't do January to December, so the years I custom did the years. And then I said, okay, what's our monthly amount? Okay, just in the last year. Okay, in October, we were at, what's that, six?
Five.
5.2 million. That's down. The month before was a lot higher. Okay. Month before was a little higher than that. July, for some reason, the heat of July was down from August. June, 5.7 million.
So it finally looks consistent.
So it does look consistent. So our meter readings in this year have been, I think, pretty accurate.
Well, that's just kind of odd because you would assume that during the summer days, I mean, the water would, I mean, it'd be higher, no?
It was in August.
Well, yeah, August was our highest month.
I don't think June was that hot, was it?
Was June not that hot?
I mean, it could have been not that hot.
I mean, it was up from May, but May was down from April. So this is the difference going from month to month. So if we started last July at 8 million, the next month we went down by 136,000. Then by September we went down another 680,000. Then in October we went down 1.2 million. November we went down another 1.7 million. And in December we went down another million. Well, that all makes sense. It's cold. You're not irrigating stuff. And then in January we went down another. And then we start creeping up again. But anyway, you can see where our high is 8-something million. And our low is 2.9. So that's our range of deals. And then I went back and I looked at our two biggest users, Actigrow and the school. And this is, I went back, let's see. 14, okay, let me go back. I went back to 2011. Okay. And they have two meters.
This is who, Actigrow?
Actigrow. A front meter and a back meter. And then there's their total. And so in 2011, if you started in January and you go all the way down, you can see where in 2011, they had a total of 10 million gallons, averaged less than a million gallons a month. Then you go over to 2012, a little over 10 million, average a little bit more. 2013, about the same. 2014, a little higher. 2015, about the same. So my intention is to get this information to Actigrow and then have a discussion with them about what are you guys doing. Obviously the last 2 years, you guys ramped it up. But what kind of things have you done to explore
conservation? They don't let them use the toilets.
Yeah, there's that. And I did the same thing for the school district.
I would go back first and make sure there wasn't a typo in there. Or did you?
I didn't, actually.
Before you go approach them and...
Yeah, make sure that... but you can see where the school, 2011... was averaging half a million, 537 in 2011, a little higher in 2012, a little higher in 2013, a little lower in 2014, and lower in 2015. So the school, one of our biggest users, dropped a significant amount from 638 to 452. So anyway, but what I'd like to do is custom this for all 300 and something accounts and do an analysis and then get that to every customer saying, this is your water usage for the last 4 years. And let's set some goals.
What about some incentives for when you use less?
That is a great
credit.
Question.
Everybody loves a little bit of incentive.
I think we talked about
credit.
That once.
We have talked about it. And I would like to do that. And that's part of my 2016 goals is to pursue that. Because it's one of those things where I think there's a way to do it. I mean, you guys raised rates last year. You raised rates based on an analysis of what it costs to operate, what it costs to deliver water to people, and what it costs to handle their sewer. I mean, it's all based on those engineering studies. So, but the thing that jumped out at me, and we've talked about this before too, is that baseline gallonage per month. You know, you guys jumped it. It was 15,000 gallons, I think, was the base. And you jumped it to 20,000 gallons of base. Was it 10?
10.
It was 10, so you doubled it. And the thinking at the time, at least in writing, was we want people to have not worry about water in their lawns. We have a green community. Well,
that would be for
the drought.
Counting on the drought.
Yeah, and in a drought, that's a different conversation. So anyway, I would like to revisit that. We have some accounts that we are struggling with because they have leaks, and we're trying to get them to fix them. You know, we got some people that are coming in at 50,000 gallons.
Where's the water leaking? Outside, you mean, or just?
We don't really know.
It's still running. The water runs and runs.
Yeah, they got people with water that runs and runs, and it's some of them, they're not really. Somebody else is picking up the bill for them, so they don't care. It's like, wait a minute. Whatever it takes, we got to get this fixed. Yeah, one of them. Anyway, so we're pursuing that. We do have a guy coming on the 6th of January who's going to bring in his little sonar equipment to test for leaks in the system. And we'll see. It's going to cost us about $1,700 to do, but I think it's well worth it.
Do all our water lines?
We got 4 miles of water lines in Biola.
And they're going to do all four
miles?
We're
going to do all 4 miles.
Now, does that include the from the alley main to the house?
No,
it's the mains.
Just the mains?
No, not to the house, no.
So with that, he'll be able to say whose house is leaking or where it's at?
Not the houses, but the water, all the stuff we own.
Community.
We don't own from the meter to the house. We own to the meter. So all the stuff that we own, they'll test.
They're just checking our lines, the community's lines, and not the property owners. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it for me.
I still need the updates from last month.
What were those? I thought we gave most of them.
No, I still haven't got the cement. What happened to the cement from the post office? The one that the guy broke, what happened to that? Is it going to get fixed? Who's going to fix it?
I will tell you that I looked at that crack in the cement. I don't know that that's worth it, that crack in the cement, to go to have them tear up, someone to pay to tear that whole thing up and re-pour that section.
No,
that almost looked where the guy drove over the sidewalk by the...
across the alley from the post office?
Yeah, across the alley from the post office.
Well, we know who did it.
Right, we know who did it.
Truck.
Huh?
A truck. It's a different...
what do you mean it's
difference.
Not worth what? Hold on. What do you mean it's not worth what?
I don't perceive that to be a big problem, that crack. That almost looks like a normal wear of the earth movement on a sidewalk. Sidewalks crack. And I don't doubt that that truck caused that, but the remedy for that would be to tear up that entire sidewalk, that section, and re-pour it, correct?
I'm not an engineer.
Well, I'm not an engineer either, but that's, I don't know how you...
I have a photo if you want. You can pull it up.
Oh, you have a photo of it?
Yeah, but you know what? If everybody started doing that and you had 20, 30 cracks, I mean, you couldn't let them all go.
No.
This one has two cements, two pieces of the cement, so it's...
So two sections of it.
Did you send it already?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even aware of it.
That's why I write down my notes and I want to follow up on it. This is why I get upset.
You mentioned that last month?
Yes, I did.
I don't recall
that.
Got it?
That was from last month. She brought it up.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, it's not loading. You got the freezer. You don't have...
It's in the sink. Go back to meet and then read. Hit your box again.
It's like I'm causing too much trouble.
Got it?
Well, yeah. Probably.
Just pass your phone around.
Are you sure you sent it?
Yep, I just sent all five of them.
Sorry. Really? Oh, that's probably why it's taking a while. You sent five.
Well, at different times though. I didn't send them all together.
The
white mail again? It's just it didn't open it.
Well, it still didn't show. I was going to pull up the map.
I have a recommendation. I'm thinking. Is it possible to have like a separate sheet that we basically can write down all of our concerns and basically give that to you so you guys can have it written down and then that way you guys can follow up with us the following month?
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Because I think it's a lot, you know, we go over a lot of information and I'm sure it's difficult for you guys to remember what you need to follow up on. But if I'm assuming, or I'm thinking if we have a separate sheet, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of, Martha, come here to bring this up the other day.
No, because I didn't know we were going to talk about this. Well, see, my
that stuff, would have been really helpful if we talked about it on Wednesday.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this. And my other question is the job description for the office. That's something we talked about last week, month about that. And what about the wall for Ermity? The wall and... It's another thing that we haven't got through it. We've been talking about it
for so long.
The other one.
I know.
And the other thing is, whatever happened with the back flow valve in the school? We haven't followed up on that either.
Well, that's still in process, actually.
You see, it's those two cracks, and then if you click to the other...
There's another one, I think.
There's another one.
The truck ran over that?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I think the... That person
truck.
Should replace that.
That gas
I
truck.
Agree. I think they should.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, I told that man three times.
We just had them.
It's only 2 years old?
Oh, this is what I'm saying. Just because it's Viola, everybody comes and does something and they walk away. It's the same thing with the stolen water. They come in, they take it, they think it's something else, and just pay me a dollar and thank you very much, and I'll see you. And I'll come back and do it again.
I think that it should be a $500 fine every time they get caught.
Yes, I believe so as well.
Yeah. Well, that's something this board can implement.
It is.
And I think we should implement it now and not keep giving it a longer time because someone else will come in and take some more water and pay me $20 and thank you very much and come back and take some more of our water.
Well, there's five.
And we're the one that's paying for it.
We're
the one that's paying for it. Yeah, we're the people in the house.
Yeah. 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 You know how many years that little sidewalk cost?
I know, exactly.
A lot of sweat. For them have to come over and say thank you very much? No.
It seems so minimal, but I mean, I think it is a big deal because, I think we should take pride.
What you guys discuss, I'm over.
I think we should take pride in our little sidewalk.
Warren, that took so long. Sick.
Everybody sick here.
You know, I
have to make tamales.
I think maybe that if we know who that person who is who ran over it, I think he should be made aware that he's going to pay for it.
Well, okay, we can do that.
Because that sidewalk, you know how long it took us to get that sidewalk? Probably 30 years.
Thank you for taking my back this time.
5 years.
They should have some kind of insurance. Then his insurance paid.
When he was there, she was leading the chant.
Me?
Yep.
Oh, for the, yes, I remember.
There's that one, and then there's the other one that goes, but you haven't
had
that one.
Has it been that long already?
It goes straight.
No. That was 5 years from that day to the time that
regardless if they have to pull out 3 foot each way, you know, at least it'll be brand new again.
Yes.
That's right there.
How many
and then
meetings?
This is
right
on the end. That's more towards the middle.
Yeah.
That's
and your mom took a lot of part in that
his left tire, and this was with
she
the right
sure
tire.
Yeah.
No, I think he should. The person that did that should be billed for it.
Right there.
Yes.
I would assume how can you enforce that? Shouldn't there be like a police report?
We'd have to take him to court. Yeah.
I think the first thing that should have been
see, that
done
was even worse.
You should have a police report.
You should pay for it.
That one's even worse.
And I even have photos of his tire marks.
That one's
so
bad.
He's not going to deny it.
No, I
think he should pay for it, though.
Well,
worse than any of that one to drive out of. There was a ramp there he could have drove down. Instead, he just drove right over the top of the flower bed.
And he busted the line, didn't he? And he paid for that.
I think you contact this person and tell him he's going to pay for these damages.
I will.
To be honest with you.
I think we should fine him for what he did. And I think we should go with the heaviest fine we can find on that.
Well, if he's being nice about it and willing to pay it,
I don't think there's any fine for something like that.
Then you probably don't have to be so harsh. But if he's going to deny it, then I think you do have to take the harsh
road. Did you make contact with him tonight at all?
Yeah, not about the sidewalk at the time. I was more concerned with the replacement of the sprinkler.
The cement's more important than the sprinkler.
It was leaking.
Oh,
that's important too.
So we had to stop that.
No, I think you should contact this person and tell him he's liable for this for that damage and the other one. Is he the one that did this crack and the other crack? The first one that you showed us?
There's one set of cracks. Yeah, it's both tires.
There's two different.
Yeah.
This one and another one, right?
The truck was so wide, so the tire hit one, and then the other tire is what did that one.
So who did the other crack?
Same guy.
Oh, okay.
See.
Why did he go on top of there? I don't understand.
Well, you know, I told him twice.
Like Martha said, it's Viola. Nobody cares. They figure, who cares?
I told him twice.
Well,
to get out
the guy that took out those tanks.
There was a tank back here.
That's what it was.
So he backed up at night he loaded that big tank and then drove straight out over the sidewalk. The big truck and then came out even bigger with the load on it.
Now you think he'd have turned to his right? I mean, there was
a ramp?
Yeah.
He showed up about 9 o'clock at night and he started that job.
Remember I called you on that?
You did. You said you didn't contact him, though. You didn't approach him.
No, hell no. I wasn't going to go at night, no.
And I told Reyes to call the police.
And I did.
So Reyes called the sheriff. And did the sheriff...
I don't know if he ever came out or not.
Yeah. But I called the guy that owned this property and said, what's the deal, man? Did you have somebody come out here to take this tank? And he goes, no. Goes, good grief. But he goes, I know who did it. And so he gave me the guy's number, and I chased him down.
And what did he say? Did he correct the cement?
We didn't talk about the cement. We were only talking about the sprinkler at the time because it was leaking. But he didn't deny that he took it, you know, and he didn't, you know.
He didn't deny that he ran over it?
I didn't. He can't deny he ran over it.
Well, because of the sprinkler system being broke.
Yeah.
So
they didn't pull that tank out till the next morning.
So the owner must have known.
That truck sat there all night.
It did?
Yes, it did.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
The owner must have known.
I called you at night.
When the owner did not know.
They were just pulling it out.
The owner didn't know?
Until I called him.
Well, who gave him permission to take that truck? Why did he want that tank? I don't understand. Somebody stealing it? Is that what he wanted? Or?
When he first got the property a year before, he contacted this guy, and it's at Central Valley Tank Company or something where this guy used to work.
I knew him.
No, I think it was him. He asked the guy to come remove the tank, but the guy never did.
Until a year later.
And so the guy shows up without any, permission or discussion with the owner and just takes it. So I asked the owner, I says, are you going to file a police report for theft of your tank? And he goes, nah, I'm not going to do it. And so that was the last conversation I had with the owner. But he gave me the contact. I called the Central Valley Tank people, and they got me in touch with this guy.
Well, I think you should contact him and tell him that he needs to pay for damages.
I'm sure
they have insurance. They can pay for it.
He wasn't working for anybody. He was working for himself.
Oh.
Can you put that as a follow-up for next month?
But he is.
We need to know what's going to happen.
Now, the other crack, the one that had the went across the one you, the first one you showed.
The same
they're
guy.
All the same. The tire marks, I took photos of the tire marks, and one goes to that one, and the other one goes to the other one. Because it's like he went forward, back, and then he tried to adjust
that one there? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about? Then there's another one.
Yeah, and then there's two together.
That one, I think this one here.
And it's more towards the middle, because he reversed.
Alvarado did that one. The first one you showed.
Well, I have the tire marks coming from that same area.
Well, it might have been coming from the same area, but because I talked to you and remember I talked to you about it?
You were going to whip his?
I'm not going to. Blowing out of the air around. But anyway, he didn't do that. Alvarado started it. The one closest to the
gas company.
Huh?
The gas company.
Yeah, the Union Oil distributor.
He drove around
the edge of it and broke it.
Can I?
He had that gas truck.
Can we do this? Can we, since she didn't get all of her answers, all of her questions answered, can we just make a note of it and then follow up next month? That way you guys have time and you give her more accurate, response.
Right.
So it was a crack cement.
She actually has it written down, so if you just want to get it from her.
It's the job descriptions of the office, the wall on Irma Dean's property or the other side of it. And we need to make the fine for the water when it gets stolen. And we need to find those people that stole the water before. Even though they pay whatever you ask, we still have to find them. And the back row on those on the school. Whatever happened to the leak? Did they fix it?
The leak?
Mm-hmm, the one they had at the school.
I believe they did, yes. There's no leak there now.
But we do need to find out about the backflow. What are they doing about it? Because I know it's Biola, and they tend to forget about it.
Well, on that, if that guy already paid some money, and at the time he paid, it was not informed that he was going to be having a fine. Or did you guys say that you may have a fine? He's not going to say, why didn't you tell me at that time?
Which guy?
The ones that have been stealing the water. The one that stole it from you and Ramiro. The one that stole it for the swimming pool.
Oh, that one. Okay. Because there was the other one.
Did they just pay a dollar and that was it? And that was settled?
No.
I don't know.
No, they pay whatever the amount of gallons they stole.
It was like $20 or something.
Which was good for them because they charged
over
$1,000.
But we have to post a sign or something, or we have to notify, you know what I'm saying? We can't just
I did talk to people from the state, and they said that it is a federal offense to steal water or to tamper with a municipal water system with the intent to harm. So if you can prove that somebody was messing with your hydrants with the intent to harm the citizens of Biola,
how do you prove that?
That's why it's...
Well, if they don't have a backflow prevention device hooked to the hydrant...
But you'd have to prove legally that there was...
That causes contaminants to come back into your system, that gets you sick.
I know, but you'd have to prove that they weren't just...
I'm just saying, that's...
Well, it makes sense, but I'm saying, I mean, does that make sense?
You'd have to prove that they had an intent to harm. Not that they were negligent in their... Because they didn't know what they were doing.
That's what I'm saying, is like, how do you prove that?
Really hard. Yeah.
Well, do we have to have a sign posted somewhere, or we don't?
No.
We do not have to have a sign posted, okay?
Stealing water is like kind of...
Now, do we have a fine to levy against people who take water?
We're working
on that?
We're working on that. I'm trying to get examples from what other places do.
I think a minimum would be $500, to be honest with you.
For the first time.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, $500, I mean, sure, the water's only worth $20 at the most, but that'll level up with the rise.
Think about, yeah, trying to steal from them.
Yeah.
You would probably have to talk to the attorney to write something up?
We would. But, again, that's part of our policy development.
Okay. I think it should be entered, though. Because, they've only taken water, two times in the last 5 years, maybe, but...
Well, Thomas City was doing it constantly.
Two times in the last 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who did?
Thomas City, Kerman.
Kerman was taking out water?
No, some guy from Farmer.
Oh.
It's not like you said Kerman.
Okay, Mr. President.
We ready to dismiss?
I'm done.
Okay, do I have more questions?
Any other questions or not? That's it? That's it for now.
Okay, the next regular meeting of the Biola Board of Directors will be on January 21st, 2016. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
Okay. Aye. I'll second it.
Those.
You should second.
Aye.
Michelle,
you
have
a good one.
I am
ready. Avery says she has to do some.
You need to take a picture of the dog.
That
dog.
Yeah. What was her name?
Had a doggy in there?
Frosty.
Wow. Is she still alive?
Yeah.
She's gonna be.
They got her tied up in the back.
She's gonna be 10, 11.
She's old.
Yeah. She's as old as your dad.
70 years old. That's right, your dad is 70 now.
Oh,
jeez.
What I understand is that we have two separate.
I ate your popcorn. I gave mine away as an 8-year.
Okay.
I didn't think you were coming.
Who was in the other
car? I told him I was going to be late. Who is this?
That's her, Alex. She's still there.
There she is.
There she is, Rudy.
All females, man.
Well, there you are.
American Buddha.
I mean, isn't that just putting us more in debt?
Ditko's, isn't that...
I don't know who this is.
Grandma and
Grandpa,
though.
That's the deal.
Am I Grandpa?
Yeah.
How many?
What?
Did you
just
need
one?
A
hand? Well, assessor. And
for us.
Oh.
That's not.
I think so. But I
heard that name before.
Merry Christmas.
You look at all
and
the cash.
Who gave us this?
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Merry.
Now you can put your, nice. Now you can put your beer when you drive to work.
Too.
Yeah. We have to.
Chris, put your wine.
What day I was going to work at like 6 in the morning?
That means that
the
number
because that's the court like, they assume yes. That we're going to put in there because the water lines we just put up in 40 years. So we got it. It's already cold. It's like
November,
December.
What is that's going to cost? $2 million in 50 years, so we have put so much in the bank every month. So the thing we really need to watch is the cash flow.
Well, maybe I do.
Honestly,
seriously, I looked at it.
I'm going to revisit these reports because that would make more sense.
What time are you going to have to
be on? And take the cohesion out of the equation.
Yeah, that is. I didn't know.
One of these guys has to
be
They wouldn't be in a worse situation.
I'll see if I can get off early.
We're talking about giving you guys a grant. You guys are losing
$180.
And I'm going, whoa.
Nice, huh?
And so then I started looking at it, and we'll go, we're not
working. Yeah, there's Gordon. The board's got a little nail on it.
What I understand, they told me that they'll see it.